Jamie, this is for Jamie. How do you determine what people's gifts and talents are beyond them being your friends that you know well? And could you ever do an interest survey?
An interest survey? What's that?
That's a fantastic question. But how would you determine what, give some tips on how you would determine a person's gifts and talents, what they are.
Okay, so I would take my big legal yellow notebook pad and I would just start asking them questions. Tell me about yourself. What makes you happy? What do you enjoy doing? When do you feel most successful? What do you hate? What did you do when you were in high school? And who were, you know, who were you in like the friend circle? Were you the one who always said, let's do it, or you were the one who coordinated it, or you were the one? So basically you start by just asking, it's just asking lots of questions. You know, who, what, when, what makes you excited? What's your biggest struggle? What subject do you hate? You know, so like for me, it'd be like math. So like detail stuff is not good for me, or like, so just kind of asking questions like that. And there's some great, they don't recommend StrengthsFinders for assessing somebody's skills, like a Myers-Briggs would be really good, like we have you guys do. And there, I'm sure there's other reports out there, we can look into that. And Jillian, make a note.
Cindy, please make a note.
That's called triple delegation right there.
All right.
Double delegation. See, I'm not good at math.
This next question's for Jason. Jason, how would you recommend getting in front of the pastor, the outreach leader, community leaders, especially those labeled like the gatekeeper of a mega church?
As an advocate?
Yes.
You work your connections. Who knows who, and how can we, who do I know that can help me get into the people that I need to get into? And you set realistic expectations. My first meeting might not be with the gatekeeper. It might need to be with somebody else. I'm always looking for, if your email address has a church name in it, I don't care if you're the receptionist at the front desk, you're an in for me. Mm-hmm. So I start at low-hanging fruit. Who do I know will say yes to me? Who can't say no? They have no reason to say no. So who's my easy yes? And then I just start working my way through that pipeline as best as I can. And trying to identify within the church structure, who's the actual person that I ultimately need to get to? Because in my mind, it might be this person, but it actually ends up being this person. And every church is different. Sometimes it's the children's pastor because they oversee family stuff, and this is a family thing, or it's the outreach, or it's the small groups guy, or you know. So, who's the ultimate person? What's my low-hanging fruit? How can I begin to work some connections into there? But quite frankly, it's priming the pump a little bit. If I need to meet with the small groups guy or the missions guy, then I'm going to send him a curriculum. I'm going to send him some stuff. I'm going to show him tangibly what it is that we have to offer before I ever sit down and do a sales pitch with him, which is kind of what it feels like sometimes.
That was my question, but none of the emails are on their website. They have a form you fill out. Mm-hmm. None of their emails.
Yeah.
It's that big.
Then you move on.
Okay.
There's plenty of other churches in town.
Perfect.
If you don't have an in, you don't have an in. You don't fight. Don't spend all your time trying to get to one when there's five or six others that you can connect to.
Good question.
All right, Jillian, how does your team handle email? Is one person in charge of checking it and sending it and forwarding it on? Or do you expect each team member to check on their own?
Like as an advocate?
No, that wasn't to Jill, that was a general question.
I know, but I was getting Jillian to answer that question.
Oh, all right. I don't think she knows.
That's an advocate question. What do you guys do?
That wasn't for any of them.
As an advocate.
As an advocate, how do you handle email? So we can take a couple of responses if anyone wants to share how they handle their emails with their team?
I just respond to them. I mean, they don't. None of my team has the password. I mean, that's just
no.
Yeah.
So you forward it to them? Like, you check it all the time and then forward it?
If they need it, if they need it.
That's what
it pertains to their. I mean, because they're like, my coordinators have like a specific thing that they. Yeah. I mean, just to our sports.
But I think it's kind of similar, like how we do it with the national team too. Is most emails come through Cindy, and she'll say, I'll connect you with Jillian and she'll answer your questions this way. Or if they connect me first and Cindy's the start person, I'm going to connect you with Cindy and she'll give you the steps on how to do that.
Okay. Try to kind of keep it through that flow.
Yep.
In Bloomington, we have the Bloomington.il email. And that comes to me right now, but my goal is to get that to come to somebody else on my team who can then just kind of assistant advocate role. So I can stay those big picture connections with my agencies and stuff. But I need someone to do more of that delegating. But I'll pass on. We also did just put like first response and mentoring referrals forms on the website. So basically the advocate or the agency can fill out that. You just send them a link. We can get you this info. You can send the link. They just go right in the stuff. And we even made it. Lindsay made it so that you put down your caseworker name and your supervisor. It will automatically CC the supervisor when it comes directly to your emails, and it goes directly to the supervisor.
That's
so
great. Well done, Lindsay.
I follow directions well.
All right. The other thing with that is with her, because she's the executive director, she doesn't have as much time to like be spending on those emails sometimes, so it's helpful to have those other people assisting you.
And what was happening with first response is I'd get it in the Bloomington and I'd forward it on, but it might be a day or two, and so all of a sudden it's already we're breaking down the speed of which time thing can.
Which sometimes maybe you'll get there and you need somebody to help you with that, which is that's good.
All right, this next question is for Jamie and Jason. Can you speak to godly ways to handle interracial families and adopting across racial lines in this tense culture?
Say it again.
Can you speak to godly ways to handle interracial families and adopting across racial lines in this tense culture?
Could we expand on that question?
Handle in what way? Godly ways to handle those families, or godly ways for those families to handle?
That was my question.
Probably the issues.
Okay.
And in our area, well, this is not TFI related. You said that was okay.
Yeah.
But it's so tense in our area right now with just, do you feel that tension as interracial families, or is it just, do you settle into a comfort with your family and your dynamic and your
like
people?
Personally?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not from an advocate role.
Okay.
From a non-TFI.
Got it.
Way in foster care, and because I know you talked about that at dinner, but there is a struggle in our area right now with that.
I think for us, I don't think that the tensions are as high in Bloomington. I mean, I don't feel that. Maybe I'm just naive, but I do know. I mean, like obviously, we have one of every color pretty much in our home, and the ways we talk about it with our kids, you know, they kind of have like a system of like, okay, Friday wins, he's the darkest, Reagan is the lightest, like here's, you know, like we have a spectrum, and we definitely talk about color a lot with them. I remember one time Hudson came home, I told some of you this, he was like first grade, second grade, something like that. He came home, and that night in bed he just started crying when I was tucking him in, and he said there was a little boy who was white who said white is good and brown is bad. And that made him very, and he's asked me before, like especially when he's younger, why is my skin different than yours? And so we just try to keep open conversations, like I love how God made you, like your skin is so beautiful, and look at how Reagan has freckles, and look at how Friday has got beautiful dark eyes and dark skin, and you know, so we just talk about it with them. We talk about Martin Luther King Jr. and it's very much like not a taboo subject to talk about color and how we all look a little different and how Layla's hair is different and bodies are growing differently, different cultures grow, you know, we're talking about how little African-American girls go through puberty faster. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking, like I'm taking my three girls and we're doing a little great to be a girl thing, talking about puberty. And it's like, okay, you're all different, you know, and you're all gonna go through this differently. But it is, I mean, we're seeing different signs and different ones, and just to have them even talk about those things together and how we're different, but it's good. And you need lotion for your skin and your hair, and her hair doesn't. And I mean, it's just very open. Like, there's no taboo subject in our home.
Yeah, it's very open in our home, and outside of our home, we feel like I'm not going to participate in some kind of public forum discussion on social media about all of this.
Yeah.
Amen.
But and I would strongly encourage that no TFI advocates do either. But what it does give us is our family gives us a reason to not even have to mm-hmm. engage in a dialogue. We can just kind of silently communicate a message that doesn't even need to be defended in certain ways or mm-hmm. argued for, or you can jabber about it all day long on social media, or you can, and by no means saying, look at what we're doing, because it's more something we feel like that's being done to us, not that we're doing. But you can bring a 17-year-old African-American girl into your home. I mean, or you can just participate in the social commentary that's going on, or you can just do something.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it gives us an opportunity to just be a silent voice. Mm-hmm. And we even talked about our family tree could look very different. Mm-hmm. Our 10-year-old asked the other day, would I be okay if Marley married a black guy? And I said, how freaking cool would that be, you know? And then the Johnson family line is different forever, you know? Mm-hmm. And the wedding is crazy, and now likely, you know, if things progress where we think they're headed, we're potentially adopting an 18-year-old African-American girl and becoming grandparents all at the same time. I mean, who would have ever thought? But all that being said, I love that it's happening right now in the cultural climate that we're in,
yeah.
because it's giving our girls, who are completely unaware of the conversation happening around our country, it's giving them a stability and a normalcy that this is just normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to be old enough to engage in this cultural commentary, and they're going to have a lot of legitimacy to be able to speak into certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can I tag on to that question just
yeah.
what you said? So I struggle with knowing, like my son doesn't have any idea what's going on
right.
in the media. So what are your thoughts on that? Like, are you saying to your younger ones, this is what's happening in the media, and because your skin is dark, you're going to... A lot of my friends are saying, you're going to have to really guard yourself because now everybody's against you, and when you get pulled over by the... So we're just not even... We're just living life. He's 8. He has anxiety. I don't want to build.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're saying we're just loving.
That's
and
a fantastic question, and you could probably speak to it with a son better, but even with Gianna now, we've had very open discussion about... we had the mom that lived with us before. She was embarrassed for her friends to know that she was living with us because she's... She was ashamed. She was ashamed that they would make fun of her. Oh, you're with the rich white folk, you know. But with Gianna, it's, are you okay? You okay with this? Are you prepared to handle the strange questions and the weird looks and all that? So we talk about that. But I completely agree with. Have you guys seen the Andy Stanley clip going around about you're scaring the
yeah.
kids?
Yeah, no, not
yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't about this necessarily,
yeah.
but it was about
was
just...
Was it a long time ago?
No, just a
no,
couple
okay,
months
no.
ago.
No.
The
it's
fam-
just about media.
It's about
in
media
general.
In general, and right. he's talking to the 45-year-old saying, stop scaring the children, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think there's an element to that. I think there's something to be said about not preaching this message to our kids that the world is going to hate you, you're going to get pulled. Be very, very, very afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of what we're actually with a lot of these kids having to instill in them the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be afraid anymore.
Yeah.
But that's probably a case-by-case basis.
Mm-hmm.
And even gender. We don't have to warn Gianna of some things that you're likely going to
mm-hmm.
have to make your son aware of.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Jamie, do you ever offer workshops Our social workers are asking about workshops on shopping for used cars, doing taxes, etc.
Well, I'd be good at the taxes ones. And the used car. No, I mean, no, I've never done workshops on those things. it would be a bad, bad day.
She sniffs cars, actually.
I sniff. Yeah, we found our rental car. They let us pick one of five, and so we went in and we sniffed everyone. And we found the
social workers, if she went in there and said we sniffed,
they'd think we're sniffing other things.
Yeah, they would ask for you out.
I wouldn't be able to do like traveling to and talking to work to social workers, but like we could do different workshops that we like put webinars or something like that. It would have to be the appropriate workshops that I'm equipped to talk about.
I don't know if the
am I not answering the question?
Is the question that, or are you asking more like?
Or should they be doing
yeah,
that?
Yeah, is that something you should do? Because to me, that just fits into what you guys have been talking about. Someone that falls into someone's talents, mm-hmm. you know, then hey, utilize the church. If someone says, hey, this is what I do and what I know, mm-hmm. that's
got
the amazing
it.
Ability
yes.
you have as an advocate. To
we did
to
have two friends do that for an aging out youth thing that we did. I had a friend that works at a car dealership and came and talked about cars and how to kind of test the car out and see if it's okay. And then he had been offered to, you know, gave his phone number out if they wanted to call and have questions. Mm-hmm. And then another guy does insurance. And so he talked about, you know, what you need to have and, you know, just different stuff. Like
or resume building.
We just happen to have, they have this thing where they meet once a month and do life skills stuff.
That's fantastic. And that's a great way to engage the body and say, hey, you want to be a foster parent, but can you use your gifts to, can you do a cooking class? Can you do,
to always have your radar up that if you ever hear something like, somebody mentioned something like that, your radar's always up mm-hmm. looking for, wait, so you help high school students with college application mm-hmm. stuff? I'd like to talk with you, mm-hmm. you know, or just all kinds of stuff.
Or even your CPR classes, like that's mm-hmm. one, it's very hard for them to get foster parents to come to trainings, but one thing they pretty much always come to is the CPR classes. So if you can get, you know, Christians doing those and then build some connections through that.
Mm-hmm. We have a lady that owns a salon, that she does hair. And so she is interested in kids that are aging out that want to do like an apprenticeship at her shop where she'll teach them how to cut hair and
All right, Jamie, when forming a regional alliance, how is funding handled?
Wait. I'm sorry, I feel like I don't know any of these answers.
Okay, what is it again?
When forming a regional alliance, how is funding handled?
Between like TFI teams?
No, it's meant for, I've already got the churches on board. Now I'm running a ministry of four churches together.
Okay.
But finances are always
trying to get
an issue. Like, do you say, okay, everybody throw in $5,000 to the pot this year? Or like, how do you handle that?
Yeah. Yes.
Jason, we got the dogs to the table, but don't know what to do now.
Yeah. Well, and let me say one thing too, because we want to be careful too that as we're with our churches, like that we're serving them, so we're not saying like be a church and give money to us kind of thing.
But
obviously,
all these things done.
But we want them to pay for the journey bag, so we want them to pay for the things that they do too. Yeah. Do you have thoughts to say on this?
Yeah. A lot of regional alliances are forming around the country, and they're doing so by the initial base of churches are investing in it, and they're projecting out a budget. Here's what we want to do this year. And, you know, order pizza for this foster parent training thing or whatever. Do backpacks, and here's the budget. And if we're going to do this, this is how it's got to be done.
So who holds the money?
What you would designate one church as the gatekeeper for that. Because then the tension eventually becomes, do we stay just as a coalition of churches, or do we need to become our own nonprofit?
It's a
501c3, and I would stay as far away from that for as long as you possibly can.
Okay.
I would develop your own branding and identity so that you are a church and agency neutral organization.
We've done that, yes.
church and agency neutral, meaning it's not all about one church, and we're not, we don't exist just to feed into one agency, but we are all about all churches, and we engage. And you have your own identity, but I can connect you with some unbelievably amazing regional alliance leaders that are doing some cool stuff. There's one in Phoenix in particular. Four big churches together fund two full-time people to run AZ-127. And AZ-127 is not a nonprofit. They said, we don't need to be. We've got church partners that do this. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
okay.
I can connect you with some people.
Yes. All right, Jillian, can you explain what church partners are?
Nationally? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so so kind of how it worked, and I say worked, and I'll explain. We have you as advocates, and our goal for you as advocates is partnering with multiple churches in your area to help meet those needs in the community. And so we also had churches coming to us across the nation saying, we want to serve, but we want to serve within our own church in this ministry. And so we said,
we don't want to do the advocate thing.
Right. We're not ready for that. We don't have a specific person that we want to do that with. So we have a liaison who we want to connect you with, and then you tell us how to do our ministry. And so we jumped on that, and that was just that church focusing on serving their local foster care community and connecting with that church or that agency representative and meeting those needs within their own church. And what we found is our sweet spot is advocates and serving you well and focusing 100% on you. And so something that we're going to be announcing in the monthly update next month is that we are no longer going to do national church partnership. And if churches want to get involved nationally, we ask that they find an advocate in their area, and that advocate will then partner with that church. Any
that
questions?
That's good.
Okay.
So, and with that, you got those little brochures in your packets, and we created that right before we decided to move away from the national church partnership.
Spent some money.
So, if you still want to utilize those as to recruit other people in your state, not your area, because those aren't for your area, those are for national
big
kind
picture.
Of. But you can explain the church and what I just explained it.
So if you're saying if there's not, or if there's not an advocate anywhere in the surrounding area, you're almost like you've got to raise your own advocate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Essentially. And we were trying to essentially be the advocate for all of the national church partners, and we're like, this is stupid and not sustainable.
It wasn't a good stewardship.
We're not able to focus on you guys as much, and so we just realized that this works. You guys,
I know what you're
there.
Doing with you.
Yeah, and you know what you're doing in your community. Like, you know the churches in your community. You need a presence. And we're not going to be going out and speaking to those churches and meeting with those churches.
Yeah. Or talk to someone who does know building up a ministry in your church really well.
Yeah.
All right, Jillian, how do we get
They would just offer me a job. And I might. You could keep the brochures.
The brochure.
There's.
You just take a Sharpie and circle it and cross it out.
All right, Jillian, how do we get our new email onto our phone?
Bring your phone to me and I'll help you.
Excellent.
That's for real. For real. Let her do it.
All I'm here.
Love it.
All right, Jamie. What is the best way to update those relationships within the community and churches that we're developing so that we don't just communicate need?
Yeah, I think I just thought what you said on that was so good, because I think it is easy to fall into that. Okay, we got to meet with them. Like, I have it in my wonder list to just, you know, follow up quarterly or whatever, but it was like it's still been focused on, okay, here's the next thing. And so I think just exactly what Jason said earlier today was awesome about just going and just connecting. How are you doing? How's the church growing? I mean,
where's your church at?
Inspired me, because a pastor that we connected with early on, they have grown so much, and I just want to call them up and say, hey, I just want to hear how it's going and what are you learning, and again, how can we plug in, because they're partnered with us. I mean, they consider us one of their main partners. And I feel like we're not helping them as much as we could be.
Yeah.
And so I think that was just a great, what you said, it's just about relationships.
Yeah.
It's just about checking in on them. It's always, always seek first to understand, then to be understood. Just care about them.
Right. I mean, so much comes from relationship, and that's why we encourage you to build a relationship with the agency.
It's not transactional.
And the same as with the church.
Yeah. Because it just becomes, like, now I have a pastor, too, that's like, I'm like, man, we had this thing we need, and he's like, hey, we can't right now get a bunch of that stuff because we're in the middle of something, but how about I throw you $500 and you go buy it yourself? I'm like, you got it, Chris. So, you know, but it's because we're friends, too. Now it's just like I'm texting them, hey, we got this issue, you know.
Did you want to add something?
Yeah, a general rule for me is if a church ever crosses my mind for any random reason, then I take that seriously and I make a note to just shoot them a message and follow up with them. And to celebrate when they're celebrating certain things, to try to keep pace with what's going on in their church. And if there's certain things, or if I ever even come across someone that goes to that church or has heard of that church, or I'll just shoot the guy a message and say, hey, your name got brought up. I met this person that goes to your church, and they just could not speak more highly of it. Just thought it was a cool connection. Bam. Because for our church leaders to get emails like that, you email me to tell me that somebody really loves our church. Mm-hmm. That's not the kind of emails that they're used to getting. So any excuse we have to celebrate with them that's completely and totally unrelated to the ministry you're doing together is a win.
And the same goes for your agency workers, you know, going in and just talking about, they just do these little, you know, goodies for them now and then, and just going in and just loving on them. Anytime I go there and just share with them, I try to bring donuts, you know, and or whatever, just checking in on them. How's it going? Mm-hmm. There was one thing that you had just said, though, that made me think of something that I don't know.
Must have not been important.
All right, Jason, is your session that you did at 10:45 part of your book? Which one? 10:45 was not the multiplying the leader.
Church
what
engagement.
Was
cultivating.
Yes,
cultivating church.
That there are no plans for that in the near future to be in any kind of book.
So they're not in any.
So it's not
point.
In any.
There, it's none of that is printed anywhere either.
Okay. It's all in his brain.
Take good notes, people.
There are. I have presentations for that. You guys got an adapted version of one of them that I do a lot of video conference calls or even face-to-face, I hate this word, but it is what it is, consulting stuff with organizations. That they're an organization that is committed to working through the local church, and the question is, how do we do that? So I was in Little Rock last week working with The Call. Some of you are familiar with The Call in Arkansas, doing a lot of that work. So there's presentations built out, and I'm happy to set up a call or
consultation.
For
free?